approximately 240 years ago, in the year Tavkuf Yud Zayin, the holy disciples of the Baal Shem Tov assembled together to celebrate the festival of Pesach together with their holy Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov. The drawing of water for Matzah's mitzvah on the 13th day of the month after Mincha was performed with tremendous joy. However, when it came the time of the search for the chometz, the Baal Shem Tov was in a state of tremendous embitterment, something which caused great pain to the Chevraya Kadisha, to the disciples, the holy disciples. Knowing that the mood of the Baal Shem Tov was one where it was constantly in joy, especially so when he would perform a mitzvah, that he would be filled with joy at performing a mitzvah, and here he was in a state of embitterment. The Baal Shem Tov concluded the Bdikas Chometz quickly, and then went off to his room to be by himself for a very, very long time. Late that night, the Baal Shem Tov chose a minion of his holy disciples and told them to recite Tikkun Chatzos, the midnight prayers, with special kavonis, with special intentions, in the room which was close to his room. If they will feel that the Baal Shem Tov has ceased saying the Tikkun Chatzos, the midnight prayers, in the room where the Baal Shem Tov is, then they should stop saying Tikkun, and rather than that, they should say specific chapters of Tehillim, of the Psalms, and to say it with great kavana, with very, very firm devotion, till they will see that the Baal Shem Tov's soul, as it were, had returned to the Baal Shem Tov. The holy disciples recognized that it was a time of tzara, of travail, and a time of kitruk, a time of heavenly charges and indictments. And according to the instructions of the Baal Shem Tov, they first went to the mikveh, and they performed all that which the Baal Shem Tov commanded them to do. As they said Tikkun Chatzos, the midnight special lament prayers for the destruction of the Holy Temple, the Beis HaMikdash, they realized that the Baal Shem Tov fell silent. And as they were commanded, immediately they began saying the special verses, special chapters and verses of Tehillim with special intentions. In their midst of their saying Tehillim, the tzaddik, Reb Tzvi, the scribe, came in, and he notified the group that the Baal Shem Tov is lying on the floor without any signs of life. The Talmidim, the holy disciples, became very, very flustered and began crying, and they said the chapters of Psalms that which they were told to say by the Baal Shem Tov with tremendous tears. As dawn broke, the rest of the disciples came to the Baal Shem Tov, and finding out that which had happened, they became very, very excited as well. They quickly went to the mikveh and occupied themselves with special intentions and unifications until they heard a breath of life in the Baal Shem Tov. However, the Baal Shem Tov had become so weak that they had to carry him in a chair to the mikveh. And when he came up from tefillah, from immersing himself in the mikveh, his face was as white as kalach, as lime, and his eyes were protruding, and everybody saw that he finds himself now in a totally different world. Before davening, the Baal Shem Tov told his disciples that they should have the intentions in that prayer just as they have the intentions, the kavonis of the prayers of Rosh Hashanah. He himself was the Shliach Tzibur, led the congregation in prayer, said Aneinu, something which tremendously frightened all the Talmidim, who were trembling from fear and anguish, not knowing what is happening. They just understood that something tremendous is coming about. After davening, the Baal Shem Tov said a Torah before the disciples, the content of which was about Midas HaBetochen, how one is supposed to have confidence and trust in God. And the main aspect of confidence and trust is that the person who is trusting in God does not see any opening and means for his salvation. Nevertheless, he is confident and trusting that God will help him. The Baal Shem Tov explained the aspect of bitochen, of faith and trust and confidence in God, as explained in the Chovos Halvavos, and said that strengthening bitochen comes through joy. Told the Talmidim, that his disciples, not to eat anything the entire day. Before midday, he went to the mikveh, was in great joy, and after chatzos, after midday of Erev Pesach, the Baal Shem Tov went to bake the matzahs mitzvah, the special matzahs baked on Erev Pesach. During the mincha prayers, the Baal Shem Tov once again told his disciples to have in mind the kavonis, the intentions of the prayers of Rosh Hashanah. And at the time of saying Korban Pesach, the section which describes the bringing of the Pesach and the Beis HaMikdash, the Baal Shem Tov was once again in a state of great embitteredness. Meir of that night, the first night of Pesach, was with tremendous dveikus, with a tremendous amount of devotion intermingled with embitterment and at the same time joy. So too, the Baal Shem Tov Seder was with merirus and with great dveikus, with great devotion and attachment. The holy Talmidim were filled with anguish, and they said and recited the Haggadah quietly and with merirus. Every year was the custom of the Baal Shem Tov to stop within the recitation of the Haggadah and to begin explaining various perushim, various commentaries on the sections of the Haggadah. And as known, the many sayings and stories and tales which the Alter Rebbe related, that which he heard from the Mizriksha Magid and from the elder Chaverim who were by the Baal Shem Tov, from what the Baal Shem Tov would say during the Haggadah. However, that year, the Baal Shem Tov did not stop at all for any commentaries, and is saying the Haggadah, the recitation of the Haggadah, although it was out loud and with a cheerful voice, as always, nevertheless, it was also commingled with a voice of tears and supplication, something which caused the Talmidim, the holy disciples, no end of pain from the spirit, from the lowly spirits of their holy master, and especially from his not even speaking anything in the Pirush of the Haggadah, as always, which they desperately desire to hear from his holy mouth, his Pirushim on the Haggadah, his commentaries on the Haggadah. As each one of them was involved in their own private thoughts, all of a sudden the Talmidim heard how a sound of laughter emanated from the holy Baal Shem Tov's mouth, and they lifted up their eyes and looked at him, and they behold that the face of the Baal Shem Tov is aflame with a flame of holiness, his eyes are closed, and he's laughing without stop. After a while, the Baal Shem Tov opened his eyes, and he said with great joy, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. Blessed is God and blessed is his holy name, who chose the Torah and Moshe his servant and Yisrael his nation, that even his nation, meaning that those who are on the level of Am, which Chassidus explains, is a lowly level, they too are on the level of Yisrael. Yisrael's the level of Liyarish, which applies to a high madrega, to a high level, and they are able to accomplish even more than Yisrael like Baal Shem Tov. They tell me that the disciples had no idea what the Baal Shem Tov was talking about. They only saw that a great change had occurred in the Baal Shem Tov's mood and spirits, and the spirit and the celebratory mood enveloped them as well, but none of them had the temerity to ask the Baal Shem Tov why first he was so embittered, and all of a sudden this sudden change from embitteredness to joy. Although the Talmidei HaBaal Shem, the disciples of the Baal Shem, did not have the temerity to ask the Baal Shem Tov for the change and mood and the reason why he was so embittered in the beginning and so joyful now, nevertheless, the Baal Shem Tov recognized and saw that his disciples desperately want to know the reason for this change in mood. And so he told them that on the 13th of Nisan, there was decreed in heaven a very harsh decree on a village where there were 400 Jewish families. And the decree was that on the first day of Pesach, which on that year was on a Sunday, the Gentiles should, God forbid, smite the Jews of that city, and it would be a true pogrom. Baal Shem Tov was in a tremendous degree of tsar. He felt very, very badly from what he saw, and he did whatever he could to nullify the decree. However, it was not successful. And when he saw that all that he had tried to do was not successful, so he strengthened himself with the middah of bitochen, with the attribute of faith and confidence and trust in God. When I saw, said the Baal Shem Tov, that our entire labor, which we did through the night in trying to arouse mercy to nullify the decree, helped nothing at all, I began to go stronger and stronger in the attribute of bitochen. Among the Hasidim of the Baal Shem Tov, there was a man whose knowledge was of Torah was so, a very straightforward individual, was known for his good deeds. Nebuch did not have children, and that Erev Pesach, he and his wife were occupying themselves with the preparations for Pesach. As Yom Tov began, the two of them sat Nebuch alone at the Seder. The husband made Kiddush as proper, and his wife also drank her kos, and they began to say the Haggadah. The husband began to relate to his wife all that he knew about the various afflictions and sorrows that the Jews suffered in Egypt. And when the husband began relating to his wife about the decree that Kol HaBen HaYiloid, that every son that is born was to be thrown in the Nile, his wife began crying bitterly. Her husband said to her, "Why are you crying? God redeemed us from there." The wife said, "If God would have given us a child, a son, I wouldn't have conducted myself with him as God conducts himself with his children. For now as well, his children, the Jewish children, are in exile among the Gentiles. They are oppressed. And look at our situation of the Jewish people. Are the Gentile oppressors better and more righteous in God's eyes than the Jewish people?" And so she began and continued to speak wonderfully and was a Melitz Tov, a very good interlocutor and a defender of the Jewish people. And she said, and moreover, in the Torah, the Holy Torah, it says that God would always remember for us the merit of our patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And so the discussion continued between husband and wife. He is matztik es hadin. He is trying to answer God, as it were, that God is righteous in all his paths, and whatever he does is for the good, and this is surely something that should be. While the wife, who doesn't know of any chochmas, who doesn't know from anything, says, where is God's attribute of mercy? And so the discussion raged until they came to the second kais, the second goblet, and the third, and the fourth, and as they were very, very tired and knocked out from the labor of the day, took its toll, and the wine had an effect, and they began dancing with great joy at the imminent geula, at the redemption that would be taking place. When the woman was speaking so goodly on behalf of the Jewish people, this brought about a tremendous tumult in heaven. And Melitza Yosher, the defender, stood on her side to speak good for all the Jewish people, while the other angels, the angels that sought to make things difficult, they were on the other side of the issue. Just like there was a debate below, there was a debate above, and there was a whole big tumult in the heaven. When the Baal Shem Tov said that when he saw the tumult that was taking place above, that these are doing, saying in favor, and these are, however, still saying not in favor, he was in a very great state of embitterment, because he wasn't sure who would finally have the upper hand. All of a sudden, there was a great degree of joy came above, and all the decrees that were on that particular Jewish settlement, where there were 400 Jewish families that, God forbid, was going to be subject to a pogrom, so that decree was totally nullified. And when the Baal Shem Tov saw that, he began to rejoice and began laughing from his great rejoicing as he saw how the husband and the wife were dancing with tremendous joy on the geula of the Jewish people, on the redemption of the Jewish people. And after he told the disciples what he saw above, he took his handkerchief, placed it on the table, and he told his Talmidim to hold on to the edge of the handkerchief, close their eyes, and immediately they too saw as well that which the Baal Shem Tov had beheld, how the husband and wife were dancing with the joy of the imminent redemption of the Jewish people. The Alter Rebbe related this tale to his grandson, the Rebbe de Tzemach Tzedek, as he heard it from his Rebbe, from the Mizrichi Magid. And the Mizrichi Magid said then that the Baal Shem Tov had then explained that the mitzvah of the attribute of betochen, to be confident and have trust and rely totally on Hashem, that only applies to oneself. That if, God forbid, a tzora, a travail comes upon a person, then according to the Torah, a person can, should, and is obligated to do as much as he can, at the same time to have full confidence and faith and trust in God, that surely God will help him and save him and extricate him from his predicament. And the source and the root of this mitzvah is that even when a person sees that he does not have any opening and any type of salvation in a physical mean, that nevertheless he should be sure and confident, fully strong in his faith that God will help him in any and all means possible. However, the Baal Shem Tov concluded, this is only as it applies to oneself. However, to use the attribute and the midah of bitochen, of confidence and faith, as regards somebody else, when one sees, God forbid, somebody else suffering, and say, oh, surely God will help, I need not do anything, I have full betochen that God will help that person, that is literally an aver, that is a sin. If somebody sees that somebody else is suffering, and he simply says, surely God will help, that is a ra gomor, complete evil. Rather, he should try to help that individual, and pray for him, and seek mercy that God help that individual, that he be saved from his tzora, as indeed that congregation, that community of 400 were saved through the great joy that was brought about above, through the dancing of the couple who were dancing with unadulterated joy at the imminent redemption, agulos and shel Yisrael, the redemption of the Jewish people.